This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Big travel week, a year since MH370. It's a long time since we've known what's happened to that, but nobody has any answers. So it's a complex and devastating matter for all the families involved, and it's a big shame. The other aviation news is the cyclone. Cyclone Marcia in the Queensland is shutting down airport after airport, so there's transport mayhem happening in Queensland at the moment. But I mean, as long as everybody's safe and gets through this in one piece, and hopefully there's no loss to life, limb, or property, and we're thinking of everyone up in the north. We also have White Night on tonight, which is the big issue, but it's not as big as the world's biggest migration that happens as a part of Chinese New Year, which is happening right now, which had 2 days ago. It was the official day of Chinese New Year. And to talk about Chinese New Year and what that means to her and her family and a whole bunch of stuff, we've got Phan Ha. Phan Ha is a Kiwi from Vietnamese/Chinese heritage, living here in Melbourne, made Melbourne home. And is this the first Chinese New Year you've not had your family around?
It'll be the second, actually. Yep. So it'll be the second Chinese New Year.
And with your family, you were telling me that in New Zealand, you were one of the only Asian families in your particular area.
We were. So when my family migrated to New Zealand, we lived in a small town called Timaru. Some of you may or may not know where it is, but it's bottom of the South Island, probably a population of about 100,000 people. So you can imagine.
Decent size. Yeah.
So you can imagine, in the 1980s would have been probably.
Not a lot of other Asian families.
No, probably not even a handful.
So growing up, obviously being in a town that was predominantly white people, and how many Māori people were there? Was a large population of Māori or Islander people?
Probably Māori.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But predominantly white people.
Okay, so Pakeha.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you were one of the few East Asian families.
We were.
And so along would come Chinese New Year.
It would.
What would you do?
Well, with Chinese New Year, what my family tended to do, and a lot of Chinese families, is you go home for actually the New Year and you have a big celebration. It's all about the food and, you know, dinner and everything like that. So you welcome the New Year with your family.
Yeah. Food, big thing.
Big thing.
Okay, so when you're the only family in the area, do you have to get in your own dragon?
Yes, I think by memory I got dressed up as a dragon as a kid.
So how did the people in the neighbourhood get into it? Because now you're in Melbourne and Chinatown's across the road from where we broadcast. It's a big Chinatown. We've got
huge.
A very large Chinese or East Asian heritage community in Melbourne, so it's a big deal here. How did it grow in New Zealand, where, you know, in a small South Island town with very few Asian families? How did it change over the time?
Actually, my family actually left when I was 2 years old, so we moved up into the big city in Auckland.
Right.
So predominantly that's where, over time, more Chinese families would migrate up to the bigger cities.
Okay.
And so over time, the population got bigger, so just like Melbourne.
Yeah. More things on.
Exactly.
More to do.
Absolutely.
And more people to get dressed up in dragons.
Exactly. And to light firecrackers at the same time.
And food.
Absolutely, more food.
More people to cook. Yeah. So the big story this week is 3.7 billion individual journeys are going to happen because so many Chinese people from all over the country have been living in the big three cities, particularly Shenzhen, Beijing and Shanghai. So they're all going home. So there's this big homecoming. It's everybody tries their hardest to get home. What's the familial importance for being home?
It's just spending time with your family. It's just, whereas in the Western culture, it's definitely more you go out with your friends, you celebrate it, you know, out away from your family. Whereas in the Eastern culture, you definitely celebrate the New Year, bring in the New Year with your family.
Okay, so it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
So, of course, all the...
So everyone's travelling from the city because everybody, like the younger people, go to the city for work and, you know, they go back home to visit the family.
So 3.7 billion journeys. It's an incredible amount of humanity on the move. It's the world's biggest migration. Statistics are telling us that in 2006, and this speaks a lot to how rapidly China has grown and how affluence and how people have migrated in their own country to other parts, it was 2 billion. This year, it's 3.7 or 3.8. I've got conflicting information, but it's nearly doubled in less than 10 years, which is an incredible amount of growth.
It's huge.
It's huge. So what are your favourite memories of when you were a kid, and what were you looking for in Melbourne this year?
My favourite memories when I was a kid with Chinese New Year was actually about the red pocket. So, and I was the youngest out of four kids, so I was obviously the one that got the most red pockets, as you do being the youngest.
Why is that?
I don't know what it is. It's just they see you as the youngest, so they probably think you need more than the others.
So you actually get more as you... Oh, well, I'm the youngest, I'm...
So there you go. Expect more.
That's fantastic.
Be looking for more, yeah.
So in Melbourne this year, I know that was a couple of days ago, what are the things that you would look for as someone who, you know, your family's not around, but what are the things you would look to do to celebrate and mark the occasion?
Well, it was actually a great Chinese New Year this year. So me and my housemate, we actually went to Chinatown. And we had a fantastic dinner there. They had dragon dancing going on with firecrackers. So it was a great way to actually celebrate it when you're not with your family.
Yeah, so food-wise?
Food-wise, fantastic. Had great Chinese food on Chinatown. Authentic.
Yeah, okay.
So you can't go wrong.
What are you looking? What are the particular things? Is it mooncakes you go for, or is it anything?
Oh, it's a lot of like roast porks.
Duck.
The duck.
Exactly. Okay, is that signature New Year?
Exactly. Definitely the roast pork. They usually have a big roast pig. Mm. Yeah, it's just a banquet of a variety of different food.
Mm.
So, and each food symbolises a different, obviously.
Different part of China. It's a exactly. diverse, huge
diverse,
country.
Diverse, absolutely.
Yeah. And so there's a bunch of different ways to say Happy Chinese New Year. I know everyone's going around. I reckon when I was growing up, nobody... Chinese New Year was that thing that your local Chinese restaurant would have some banquet on, and that would be about it, and that would be your exposure. Now I'm getting SMSs, I'm getting messages on Facebook from white people.
Saying Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, exactly. And...
Gung hee fat choy.
Yeah, gung hee fat choy. And I'm getting that from white people. And it's like, okay, this has changed. But it's a great celebration. I was in Chinatown just before for lunch, and people were going off everywhere. It was such a good vibe.
It's fantastic.
It was so, new haircuts.
Exactly. And it's so vibrant as well. And even down when you go down the Crown by the river, they've got lots of different stores opening up with different types of foods. Yeah, they're celebrating Chinese New Year down there as well. So they've got different stalls of food all the way down the river, which is fantastic. So you're walking down the river, and all you can do is smell like a array of different food smells.
And it's not just China. It's because your family were living in Vietnam, right?
They were.
It's a very Vietnamese and Lao and Thai celebration as well.
Exactly. So what you're going to find in a lot of Southeast Asian countries is you do have a lot of Chinese people who've migrated from China to Vietnam and still keep on to their heritage. So they'll still celebrate Chinese New Year as well. So,
now, what would you do different next year? Now that you've been in Melbourne for 2 years, how would you celebrate Chinese New Year differently in Melbourne? Would you do it different, or do you think you did it the right way?
Well, that's a really good question. I actually really enjoyed it this year, actually. I think I probably would... Because I celebrate it on the actual day as opposed to New Year's Eve. Or probably next year, I'll probably do the New Year's Eve going into the New Year's Day differently.
Yeah. Yep. And just bring on your friends.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, your family's a little way away, so it's a bit harder.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Auckland's a long way to go for an evening.
Absolutely. For one dinner anyway.
Well, exactly. We want to hear all about your experiences with Chinese New Year and what you've been up to celebrating the oncoming of the Year of the Ram. Let us know. You can SMS us 0427 join 949, or you can phone us. We've got people at reception just busting to take a phone call from you, 1300 join 949. Or email us on air at joy.org.au. Now, if you want to become a member, it's very, very easy. It's a straightforward process. You can do it online, or you can call up our receptionist. Harriet's there waiting to take your call. You can join Joy, and it's an annual fee because it's free to go to air, but it's not free to keep us on air. Family membership is $96 a year. Individual membership is $72. Concession is $36 a year. Under 18 is only $22. And if you own a business, it's $165 a year. That entitles you to enter all of our competitions and so forth and volunteer with Joy. And if you're really interested in being on radio, why don't you consider a Taste of Radio? It's a course that we host here at Joy. It's what everyone goes through before they get on the air. Taste of Radio is hosted by our wonderful Leanie. It takes you through radio law, broadcasting techniques, how to script a show, how to produce a show. It takes you through the whole thing. And it's an amazing course. And then we have the Taste of Radio graduates who do Fresh Air after our show. We've got Fresh Air talking to us about the nightclub scene. So there's plenty of things to do Fresh Air-wise. And we'd love to have you as a member. Now, Joy 94.9 is smack dab in the middle of the city. And Fun, on your way here, I'm sure, aside from the Chinese New Year stuff that's going on, and there is a bunch of stuff going on around the city, and there's a lot of bustle, but there's something else going on tonight.
White night.
Yeah, white night. It seems like it has taken over the city over the last 3 years. So you're going.
I am going, actually.
Yeah. You also live in the city.
I do. I live in Docklands, so it's a great walking distance to the city, so I'm really looking forward to it. It actually will be my first white night, because I actually didn't go last year.
Nor did I. I lived in St Kilda Road last year.
So I'm really looking forward to it. I've heard great things about it, and everyone's saying to go after midnight.
Why is that?
Just to beat the crowds. There's apparently over 80 free events on tonight, so that's like 900,000 to a million something people right in the CBD. So it's going to be a gridlock.
Jeez Louise.
Sorry.
I'm going to have to take a bit of a breath and process all that information. You're on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Joe is currently in New Zealand, so we did a bit of a prisoner exchange program. We've got Farn from New Zealand. Farn, you've lived in Melbourne for a couple of years.
I have, yep. Yes.
So tell us, from a New Zealander's point of view, if you had friends coming over from New Zealand to Melbourne, what would you recommend they do from your point of view? What do you think the real highlights are?
If they were to come here on holiday?
Yeah. Oh. Say they're spending a week in Melbourne, a week in Sydney kind of thing.
Okay. Well, a week in Melbourne, I mean, there's so much to do. There's obviously like the Great Ocean Road where you can get out of Melbourne. You've got out of Victoria, like you've got the Yarra Valley, for example, which is fantastic. Right within the CBD, you've got amazing restaurants and cafes. A lot of great bars. Obviously, the rooftop bar was one of my favourites up in Cookie. It's definitely a Melbourne institution.
I just heard thunder, sorry.
Which is probably not a good day for it today.
No. With thunder and lightning happening outside and a bit of rooftop bar, I think they're going to be very well populated tonight.
Yes.
For white night.
Absolutely. And I think if you're going to head up there, you'd probably want to go there pretty soon to get a spot.
Yeah, exactly. Take your cash.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, getting out and about around Victoria is a great idea. Also, rooftop bars. What else is really Melbourne in your experience of living here for a couple
the
of
shopping,
years?
Shopping, absolutely. The,
yeah.
The lovely boutique shops that you can go to as well. So it's great for shopping. The restaurants are amazing. Top quality, fantastic. You can't go wrong with the
food. What's your favourite?
My favourite here?
Yeah, favourite style of cuisine here?
Oh, it's so hard to choose, actually, because there's so many good restaurants. Obviously, there's Long Grain, which is fantastic. Thai,
right.
Fusion, Asian. Fantastic Italian. French is amazing. Mm. I mean, the list can go on, really. I can't really pinpoint it down to one.
Yeah, and coffee.
And so coffee,
there's
exactly.
All that kind of, the laneways and stuff.
Absolutely.
You're making me homesick for a city that I'm actually in. So from the other perspective, if you had some friends from work, what would you say are the things that are Farn's New Zealand?
New Zealand's fantastic for adventurous things. If you want to go there for your bungee jumping, your skydiving, just to get around and see the scenery. I mean, you've got amazing things in New Zealand, which is, you know, like your hot water beaches. We can go to amazing...
What's a hot water beach? I don't know about that.
Oh, so hot water beach. There's one particularly one in Raglan, which is west coast of New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And what you can do, you go out there, you get a spade, you can actually dig up the black sand and hot water actually comes out of it. So that's fantastic.
Not in a Rotorua kind of a way. Either.
Not a Rotorua kind of way at all. And it doesn't smell like Rotorua either.
I was amazed by how hot the stuff coming out of the earth was at Rotorua.
Absolutely. Yep, you're getting 40 degrees, I think.
Yeah,
of hot thermal water.
Yeah. But the mud that was bubbling up, there were signs saying, do not go anywhere near here because you will die.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, like
and they're not
permanently.
And they're not kidding either.
No, they're not.
It's truthful.
And there was a whole list of languages on those warning signs when I was there, and I was thinking, a whole bunch of people must have done this before to warrant so many languages. Okay, cool. So they're your what else about New Zealand? Because, I mean, New Zealand's a place that's so close and easy and so friendly and familiar in so many ways that I'm sure a lot of people have been there. But what are some secret things that you think about New Zealand that people don't know to go to?
Obviously, the hot water beach I told you about in Raglan. That's one of my secret favourites.
Never heard about.
Now you have. Another one of my top favourites would be up in the North Island. You sort of heading towards Cape Reinga, which is the top of the North Island.
Yeah.
There's a fantastic sand dunes, which is amazing. So you can actually do walk up there. You feel like you're in a desert, to be honest, and you don't feel like you're actually in New Zealand. It's just so
how far up north? Near Auckland?
No, past Auckland. So you're going all
right
the,
up.
Right up. Mm. You're going all the way up to Cape Reinga, which is pretty much the tip of the North Island.
Right.
So you obviously take a bit of a detour off the beaten track, and it's sand dunes, and it's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I've learned two things now, which is fantastic. I'm going to have to go to a hot beach and Kiwi sand dunes.
Absolutely.
Hot beach, writing that down now, Kiwi sand dunes.
I expect photos when you come back.
Oh, definitely. I love New Zealand. It's a great place. And it's the tourism infrastructure is fantastic. It's a big part of the economy, and it's
absolutely
very well geared at making sure people have a great tourist experience. And people go, I mean, it's a big deal. And Andrew Jackson has certainly made it even bigger than Ben-Hur.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So going back to White Night, the mm-hmm. big event that's happening here, the same night as the Saturday night of the Chinese New Year. Chinese New Year basically is a two-week event anyway, so the actual night was on Thursday night. Friday, people called it Chinese New Year's Day, and today's Saturday night and people are going nuts, and Chinatown was just brilliant. We have one of the biggest weekends in Melbourne ever. 60,000 people are going to be at Soundwave. The cricket is attracting, I believe, the numbers say that it's going to be 90,000 people at the cricket.
Wow.
And the revised number of people coming into the 24-hour arts event, White Night, was, until the rain bans came through, was 900, but it's peaking about 750,000 people are coming into the city tonight. Make sure that you are prepared. Keep your cash in your pocket, because it's a lot of food trucks, food vans, water places. There's also free water places to go to, so you won't get dehydrated. Don't drink too much. Certainly do not drive anywhere near the city, because you won't be able to park, with about one in five Melburnians going to be traipsing around Swanson Street. You're going to have a lot of difficulty getting in and out of the city if you're not careful. And make sure that you wear extremely comfortable shoes. You don't have to be a lesbian to know that.
No, you don't. Exactly. No high heels for tonight.
No,
for
the girls. No high heels. So the China, so much going on, and that's what I love about this weekend, and that's what this show is about today, is talking about how frenetic this weekend is. Chinese New Year, the year of the ram, what are you doing for? Have you made ram resolutions?
Oh, that's a good question. Resolutions.
Remolutions?
Remolutions. I'm actually looking at going to Bali, actually, this year.
Yeah?
Yes, so that's one of my revolutions. I've always wanted to go to do a bit of a yoga retreat, so I've been looking at different yoga retreats in Bali. So,
talk to me about the yoga retreats in Bali and how you're going through this process of filtering out what to do, because there's a lot on there.
There's so many, and it's overwhelming, because you obviously want to choose a good one, and you don't want to, you want to make sure you stay away from the dodgy ones that are obviously on the internet as well. So all I've currently been doing is going on the internet, going to TripVisor, seeing what the highly recommended ones are and things like that. So that's what I've done so far.
Have you narrowed it down, Ubud or...?
No, I've got like about 10 on my list so far, but I found this amazing new yoga studio, which I've started going to on King Street, actually, Yoga Social, which is amazing.
Okay, so you got to be very cautious about King Street and yoga. If they've got a lot of poles in the joint, you might make some money, but you want to get out of there.
So I might actually ask people.
You're just dodging that, aren't you?
I am, actually.
So where on King Street is there a yoga studio?
There is. It's called the Yoga Social. I've actually recently joined up to it about a couple of weeks ago. It's fantastic. It's really, really good.
Yeah, they do hot yoga, Bikram?
No, it's not Bikram. It's normal yoga. But it's Hatha. It's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. It's a beautiful studio. Mm. Great teachers. So I think I need to ask them if they can recommend a great one in Bali, which I'm sure they'll probably know.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of Bali. But you're a rock climber.
I am.
So
yes.
Talk to us about your rock climbing.
Right.
Is this a New Zealand thing where you climb up and down mountains or...?
Well, actually, may have started it actually when I was a kid, how I got into it. No. I first got into rock climbing actually when I used to live in Canada about over 10 years ago. So I absolutely loved it, really got into it. More so for the last probably 3 or 4 years. And it's a great sport. I mean, you build up your strength. It's probably the only sport where males and females are pretty much par and par.
Why is that? Is it because it's a strength to weight ratio?
Yeah, strength to weight ratio. And it's amazing how when you do when you are climbing, a lot of your weight gets distributed throughout your whole body, and you use a lot more of your lower body weight as opposed to your upper body, and it's all about technique and things like that. So and that's where girls naturally would use most of their lower body strength, where guys would tend to try to pull themselves up
upper body,
exactly, until they learn technique, and then
they realize, great guns in the meantime,
absolutely. So that's when they realize, no,
right,
we need to distribute and not to pull. Yeah.
So where do you do that? Where do you go rock climbing around Melbourne? It's pretty flat.
There's actually a rock climbing gym up in Swanston Street, actually, Hard Rock.
Opposite RMIT.
That's the one, yeah. So that's the one that I've been going
with
to.
All the
for
glass.
Exactly. One I've been going to for the last couple of years. So it's a great view of the city and great walls and, yeah, great way to do your indoor training. I haven't actually done any outdoor climbing in Australia yet, so that's on my list to do, actually, part of my Ramolutions.
Bali, and then picnic at Hanging Rock.
Absolutely.
Something like that.
Something like that, exactly.
Okay, so Canada. What took you to Canada?
I was there just travelling around, as you do when you're in your early 20s, having a great time and things like that. And, yeah, it's a great place. Made some great friends.
Which part? Canada's a huge country.
Huge. So I based myself in Vancouver and then travelled around through to, like, Calgary, to Banff, to the Rocky Mountains.
Yep.
Amazing. So got to climb a bit of outdoor climbing when I was over there.
Right.
But my last massive trip rock climbing was actually in California a couple of years ago, actually. Me and three other friends, or my New Zealand rock climbing friends, all went to California and we did an amazing rock climbing trip all through from San Francisco down to Las Vegas and all the way back, and did all the national parks in between for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Which was so much fun.
Okay, we're going to hear more about rock climbing and travelling around California when we come back from a few messages. We're also going to go back to Bali and talk about the current controversy about people boycotting Bali, because that's something worth talking about.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Today, Escape Pod is joined by Farn. Farn Ha is a Kiwi, originally from East Asian ancestry, yeah.
Yep.
We've been talking about a bunch of things, and we've got this chaotic, huge weekend on. Number one, it's Chinese New Year, which is one of the world's biggest events, especially from a travel point of view. 3.7 billion journeys happening for people going home from the three big cities to regional China to celebrate with their families. That's a whole lot of mooncakes.
A whole lot of mooncakes.
Yeah, in 2006, it was 2 billion journeys. So it just shows how much China has grown, and those cities must just be phenomenal hives of humanity.
Imagine public transport at that time as well.
Chaos.
Imagine the buses and the trains.
Well, we were looking at some photos before Farn online, and of the kind of transport people were engaging in to get home. People buy tickets for standing and stairwell room for five-hour journeys to get home, particularly people from the far western side of China, northwestern side of China, when they're going from any of the cities, it's about 5.5 hours on a train, and people buy spaces in stairwells to stand for 5.5 hours for the journey home. It's how important it is for people to get home, and how limited the opportunities are to transport so many people over such a vast amount of space. So it's not just seated or smoking or non-smoking or I want the chicken meal, thanks.
Yep.
It's I'll stand here for 5.5 hours.
I'll get any space.
I'll get anything.
I'll get any space that's available. Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. So and sort of people are rocking up with their packet of cigarettes, their bag, and two styrofoam cups of noodles. Hopefully they'll get to get some hot water in for their 5.5 hour journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huge, huge undertaking. The complete logistics. It's called the Chunyun, which is the spring festival spring migration. What is it? Yeah, Chunyun means spring migration. And people just, the numbers, the sheer logistics of getting all that around. And 86 million people are going by road. 86 million people are getting in their cars. So the train system and the aviation, the skies are full over China. And, people are mostly home by now. But what an undertaking. It boggles the mind.
It does, so actually. You just can't comprehend it, really, can you?
Well, I think you will get a chance to comprehend it by coming to White Night.
Absolutely.
So what are the things that you're looking forward to seeing tonight at White Night? I mean, you're a city dweller. You're a Melburnian.
I am. I'm actually looking forward to seeing the buildings light up and just seeing the different effects of it. I mean, Melbourne's, you know, well known for its arts and its culture. So I think White Night's just a resemblance of, you know, what Melbourne's all about, really.
Yeah, I want to go and see. There's some amazing Indian dancing going on in Burang Ma.
Oh, right.
And that's, I think, where the ghost trees are going to be. So it's, you know, people are quite frenetic. I've been looking on Facebook to see what people are trying to coordinate meeting because they don't believe the phone system is going to be able to cope.
No, I don't think it will, actually. You can imagine that everybody's sending SMSs and it's just going to get lost into SMS space for a while. So.
And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're going to beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, what's wrong? I honestly think that the biggest advice, and which you said before, is to go after midnight because that seems to be where a whole bunch of people have gone.
Exactly. So apparently that's when the crowd's going to die down a little bit, so you'll get to be able to at least walk around the city with less crowds.
Yeah, and fewer prams.
Yeah, fewer prams.
Fewer kids.
Absolutely.
I was also looking on Facebook just now. A friend of mine was saying that she was there last year and she was getting pushed over by grumpy women with whinging kids at 3:30 in the morning.
What were they doing? What were they thinking? Why are the
That's
kids
just cray.
Why are the kids out that late? Or that early?
Either or. I don't know. It seems like a bracing use for humanity to be out at those particular hours. So if you're going to White Knight and you want to tell us what your plan is, let us know. SMS is 0427-JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. Before we took a quick break, fun, and listen to Beyonce. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot to tell everyone. That was Beyonce, grown woman, and she is. Thank you, Mrs. Carter. you were talking about you've got a brand new yoga studio and your next travel plan. Normally you're very, very active when you travel by the sounds of it, climbing mountains and rocks and walls and so on. Your next journey is going to Bali to a yoga school.
Yes.
Now, Bali is very interesting at the moment because of the slightly political situation that's going on with two convicted drug traffickers facing the death penalty. And one of the how can I put this without getting myself into trouble? One of the least well-considered things that came out of our Prime Minister's mouth, which is considerable, was a veiled reference to Australia having provided so much assistance to the Indonesian people during the tsunami and how this is leverage. And also Bishop, our foreign minister, she had also mentioned that Australians might vote by not going to Bali. What do you think about this issue? Obviously, with planning a trip to Bali, it doesn't...
No, it hasn't stopped me thinking about even going to Bali, actually. I feel that those two people that were involved in Bali, I mean, they knew the rules before they got there. So it's a controversial, obviously, topic, but they knew
complex.
It is complex. They knew the rules. I mean, they chose to obviously do what they did and they got caught.
Mm.
So unfortunately, you're in a foreign land and that's the rules in that foreign land. And I believe it'd be the same thing as if, for example, Balinese or someone from overseas came to Australia and decided to break the rules in Australia. The rules in Australia apply. Why should anybody be any different?
Well, it's a very complex issue. If you go to nearly any airport in Asia, the warnings are very clear and explicitly stated that the death penalty applies
absolutely
for drug trafficking. And have you been to Bali before?
No, that's why I've decided to go to Bali because I've never been to Bali. So I can, it's a good place.
Well,
good chance to see the place at the same time as well.
Yeah.
And I definitely know what the consequences are. If
we didn't need Chappelle Corby or...
No, exactly. I didn't need any of them to let me know what the consequences would be. So.
We know that in Southeast Asia particularly, the penalties are very severe because the governments consider the on-flow effects of drug trafficking and the sale and importation of drugs of dependence particularly as devastating to their communities. So they believe that these crimes match a death penalty. We in Australia, like New Zealand and many other countries, don't have the death penalty. The United States does. Australia hasn't since the late 60s. The UK, France, Germany, I mean, so many countries around the world, Canada, do not practice the death penalty. So it's very confronting to us, even though we know 10 years ago these young Australian people made some very, very challenging decisions and they now have to face the penalty for that. But I wouldn't not go to Bali for it. I know that a very big fan of our show and sex party leader Fiona Patton had done a tweet this week about boycotting Bali. I do understand that people want to boycott the idea and the understanding of the death penalty, particularly because it cuts home when you see people like Andy Chan, who's an Australian, and we see him as being one of us and having to go through this awful process. But the Indonesian people have made it very, very clear that the results of drug trafficking, and I know that the heroin was supposed to come to Australia through Indonesia, it wasn't supposed to be sold there, but the whole trade is insidious and it hurts a lot of people and it very much so harms people. One of the things that the Indonesian people said is, we don't have the drug treatment programs you have in Australia. We just don't. People die and it rips families apart. Absolutely. So this is how we deal with this issue in our country. Drugs of dependence are... now, Fiona has a very good point that that's not necessarily the best way to go about it. People are still willingly trafficking drugs even though they know the risks, because the rewards are very lucrative. And when people are young, they make stupid decisions. Or can, not everybody. But we'd be really interesting to hear what our listeners have got to say. If anyone's got an idea, would you boycott Bali because of the death sentence handed to two Australian citizens who are convicted drug smugglers? Be interested to know if that's what your thoughts are. I mean, just because Fun and I don't agree doesn't mean that your opinion isn't really valid. And if it's Fiona's listening, let us know. Give us some more detail. We'll put you on air. SMS is 0427JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au. So you're not going to be taking heroin with you when you go to Bali, Fana. That's what I hear very clearly.
No, I won't be taking it with me and I won't be taking it back with me.
So, but you are going to be very much so into the yoga school. So
I am, yes.
Why yoga? Why Bali?
I love yoga. Really getting into it at the moment, and I've always wanted to go to yoga retreat, and I've never been to Bali.
So it's just...
Yeah, I can take all those boxes and then, that's my... Reminutions, there you go.
So how long are you going to do? Are you going to do a month or are you going to do a week? Or
I'll do a week. So they have week-long retreats. So you can do 3, 5, 7 days. I think some can even extend to 2 weeks as well, depending on, if you can fit 2 weeks in. So it's a long time to do 2 weeks of a yoga retreat, but you'll definitely come back rejuvenated, that's for sure.
Yeah, you certainly will.
Find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Farn, we had an email in. What is the food that typifies Chinese New Year to you? What is that one thing, like Christmas pudding or roast turkey is for Christmas?
It's roast pork.
It's roast pork.
Oh, it's so good. The crackling. Can't go wrong with the crackling. So divine.
Okay. So that typifies Chinese New Year.
That typifies it for me, absolutely.
My mouth is watering. I'm going to have to run over to Chinatown afterwards and try and find some. I'm sure there's got to be something there.
Absolutely.
So White Nights, the big event for the evening. We've got talking trees. We've got a whole lot of things on display. We've also got dragons going on for in Chinatown as part of White Night. We've got 80 particular events going on. How are you going to get through them and how are you going to coordinate that with your mates?
Very good question. Such a good question, because you want to organise it before you head out, right? Mm. Because there's no texting once you're out. No texting.
None.
So there's a group of us going to meet at my place, and then we're going to go from there because it's obviously walking distance.
Go together?
Yep, down the Yarra, which is fantastic.
So has anyone got one of those things that you put on toddlers, like a leash, so you don't lose each other?
No, but it's actually a very, very good idea, though.
Or get a flag like the tour groups have?
Absolutely, red flag.
Yeah, red flag.
Yeah.
Well, my plan is to listen to your advice and come in after midnight, and hopefully the crowds have died down and just sort of walk into town and see what's going to go on. But I've got a feeling that it's going to still be thronging because the weather's clearing up and the skies are blue again.
Well, I have a strong feeling everyone's doing the same idea, so nobody will be in town till after midnight. Let's hope not.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. It's going to be a crushing blow to find out there's people thronging in at midnight. The food vendors, what we are understanding is there is the biggest collection of food vans that Melbourne has ever seen. Ribs, smoked food, pho, vans, poffertjes, if you like those tiny Dutch pancakes. The incredible variety of food vans are swarming all up and down Burke, Collins and La Trobe Street, I think.
I think La Trobe, yes.
Yeah. So food is going to be excellent. Free water about. Make sure you wear comfy shoes and make White Night a big event. And I can't wait to get out there and see it. I know that...
It's going to be exciting. I'm really looking forward to it, actually. I've heard amazing things about it.
Now, are you going to be taking your smartphone and videoing everything and putting it on Facebook?
Oh, absolutely. Of course. As you do.
That's probably why no one can get an SMS going, because everyone's putting everything on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. There was a guide in The Age today about White Night, and I think and I know that the good people at White Night have a fantastic website that talks you through going to key things. What the recommendation is, take an umbrella, they've just changed it, so try and avoid the queues by changing your expectations. If you want to be right up at the front of something, go now.
That's a good plan, actually. Yep. That's a very good plan.
And whatever you think is going to take 5 minutes is going to take 35 minutes.
Yep. Agree.
So if you're going to go from Burke Street to Swanston Street and then go around to La Trobe Street or try and get to Flinders Street, that's 5 hours that you need to set aside to do that little trip. And you can't shortcut through David Jones like you do when it's raining.
No,
you
can't.
Because I believe the shops are open till midnight, though.
Most of the big department stores. Yep.
Yeah. And if you need to go to the toilets, there'll be public toilets open throughout every hub with the exception of Tears Before Dawn, which is ironically labelled because I think that if you needed to go to the loo and you're anywhere near there, there will be tears.
There will be.
Yeah. So there's amenity maps, there's 700 staff working tonight, so there's lots of people running around in uniforms. You won't be able to miss anything for White Night, so it's going to be fantastic.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
We're rounding up the hour at the Escape Pod. We will be back next week. I'll be in Sydney. And then the week after, we've got the Mardi Gras. So we're broadcasting with SBS on SBS Digital Radio. So that's going to be that's a big deal. So you'll be able to get us all over Australia. Farnha, thank you for being our guest today on Escape Pod.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. And we'll have you back once you've been to Bali and done your yoga thing. I'm very interested.
Fantastic. Love to come back.
Yeah, find out what you learn about yoga and about yourself.
Yes. Mm. Very zen. I'll come back very zen.
Yeah. it'd be very interesting to see what the climate's like in Bali. What do you expect? Oh, you've never been there before, have you?
Never been there before, but I'm expecting it to be hot and humid, obviously, being a Southeast Asian country. Mm. Yes, so I will report all when I do come back.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting to see what you have to say. I love Bali. I think it's amazing, and I just love the people.
So I'm really looking forward to, like, Balinese food. Getting pampered
food
for
is excellent.
Getting
there.
Pampered for a week. Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. All that kind of stuff. Yep. And so, Farn, as someone who has travelled a lot through your life, what's your number one travel tip?
Hand sanitizer without fail.
Yeah.
Take with me religiously everywhere I go.
Why?
You can always guarantee if there's no soap or water, you can clean your hands with hand sanitizer.
Yeah, it's just a squirt and it's gone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Your hand's always clean.
Yeah. Are you one of those people that has it tied to your handbag?
It's not tied to my handbag. It's always in my handbag.
Yeah.
There's a brand, Palmolive, and it's the raspberry beads one. Fantastic. My favourite. You always have smelling fresh raspberry hands, so
I get the Aesop one.
Do you?
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah.
I need to try that one, actually.
Yeah, it's not. It's comparative to how much Aesop costs more than other things.
Yeah.
Their waterless hand sanitizer is one of the most affordable Aesop items, and it has that beautiful Aesop-y smell.
Fantastic. So I do like Aesop too. They're amazing products.
Yes, local brand. It comes from a kilometre up the road here in Smith Street, Abbotsford.
Oh, very good.
Or Collingwood, whatever.
I'd have to give that one a go, actually.
Yeah. Or you can just hang outside at an Aesop shop and just breathe deeply because they are very, very distinctive aroma. Beautiful stuff, all that organic oil.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.